Hello everyone, welcome here in Bogota, and thank you for coming. I'm Attila, and I'm from the Swarm Foundation, and today I'm going to talk about the Swarm, where the project is at the moment, how you can run your light node, how you can run a full node, and talk a bit about future plans as well. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with Swarm, but basically Swarm is decentralized data storage and distribution technology. So also I'm not sure how much of you are familiar with this original idea of Ethereum being the word CPU, but the Swarm origins coming from the same time, and then at that time there was this idea of this holy trinity where Ethereum is the word CPU, Swarm would be the word hard drive, and then Whisper would have been the messaging system. And like things turned out to be differently, but still the idea and the roots of Swarm is coming from that. So you can think of Swarm as being a huge hard drive based on peer-to-peer technology. And then when I'm talking about Swarm, people usually ask me, okay, so how is it different from IPFS? Like, this is the question that everyone is interested in. And then it's quite different, but since the goals of the projects are similar, then I think it's worth mentioning, like, what are there's some kind of core ideas that are built into Swarm and maybe differentiating with different or alternative decentralized storage system. So one thing is that Swarm has a very strong focus on privacy preserving and being permissionless. So it means that you, in order to upload to Swarm, to this world hard disk, you don't have to have a node. So that's a different. From IPFS, you have to have your node. And I will talk about later, like, a bit more the differences in, like, how the data is handled. But then again, going forward on this list, like, Swarm being Ethereum native, which means that it uses a lot of primitives, like crypto primitives that are used in Ethereum, and also the smart contracts it uses are running on EVM, so it doesn't invent its own blockchain, and it does not try to create that problem because that is solved by others, and it's not the area of focus. It has robust defenses against blocking or changing access, so that this is kind of the thing that we call censorship resistance. So once data is uploaded to the network, as long as there is someone who wants to keep it on the network, then nobody else can take it down from the network. Or that's the idea, and then I will talk about later where we are with that. There is also a feature which is like auto-scaling. So because this is a distribution network as well, the data is, when the data is downloaded, then the copies are stored on nodes, and therefore it's available on more nodes, so that it has this property that, like, more people sharing the same kind of data sets, the more copies there are on the network, and that can help with, like, a CDN type of functionalities. There is integrity protection with content addressing, but also there is mutable updates with signed chunks. So you can have both of these things together, and with that you can think of also, like, as a not only just storing, like, static data sets, but, like, have data structures that can be updated and can be used for application layers. And eventually it forgets data or content that is no longer relevant to preserve. So as I will explain, like, you have to pay in order to get the data on the network. And if nobody is paying for the data, then it means that it's no longer relevant, so it will be deleted. So these are, like, from this you may get an initial impression. And I will go to some details, but not in a very deep level, because that's not the focus of this workshop. It's going to be hands-on, so don't worry, I just give a small introduction so that everyone is on the same page. So basically, when you upload data to the Swarm, what happens is that Swarm takes the data, splits it into 4K chunks, and then assigns and then optionally, currently it's optional, encrypt the chunks, and then based on the chunk's content address, finds the nodes that should be storing it on the network, and that means that the data is spread on the network. So then you want to upload any data to the network, then when you have a node, then it will find the nearest nodes that matches the content address of the data chunk, and send it there. And then when you try to download the data, the same logic happens. So then basically you access any nodes, and then it will find the route on the network, and then get back the chunks from the nodes that has the address closest to the chunk's address. And so that's the basics of like the storing data on Swarm and the main concept. And also there are different kind of nodes. So as Swarm evolved, we realized that one size does not fit all. And then at the beginning, we only had this full node functionality where like the nodes were storing data. It was also used for accessing the network, and like basically all the functionality were in the full nodes, but eventually we realized that most people won't necessarily need full node functionality. So we separated like into different ways how you can access the data on the Swarm network. There is a gateway that we provide as a free trial version, so to speak. There's an ultralight node which you can install on your laptop, and then it doesn't use too much resources, but then with that you cannot upload to the network, because in order to upload to the network you will have to pay for the data, for someone to store it for you, and that's something that you can do with a light node. And I will install this on my computer. Like, we will see like how the internet works. So far it was not always great, but I hope someone like sacrificed some goats to the demo gods today so that we can have some luck with that. So we basically realized that if you want to see like a Web 2 kind of view of like this different product packaging, then I can show you this, that basically there is a free trial on the gateway that you can access from the browser. You don't need to install anything. You can just go to this website. You can upload data, download data, but it's limited to certain size. And then also that it's the nature of the gateways, the gateway operators must, comply with the law and then remove some data. And then at that point, like, censorship resistant cannot be maintained or guaranteed. If you want to access directly the network, then the recommended way to do that is by using either the Swarm desktop app, which is like easy to install, and you can install it on your laptop or desktop computers. And then we recommend this to most people that want to create data and store network, or just want to simply access the data on the network. And it comes in two varieties, like this ultralight node, which does not require you to do any kind of transactions on the blockchain, but that's limited, so then you can only access data but not upload. If you want to upload, you will have to buy the Swarm native token, which is called BZZ, and then with that you can buy capacity on the network so that you can store your data. And with the full node, it has the full functionality, but it also means that you need to run this most likely on a separate server, because like if you run the full node on your laptop machine, for example, it may use your network connection in times that you don't want to. It has to be run 24/7, because then that provides the availability for the data for others on the network. So if you close your laptop, then I will talk about later, like, you wouldn't be able to participate in the earning part of this thing. So like how you can earn money by storing data for other people. And we realized that the full node is not a very good choice for most people running it on their laptops and stuff. So for that we recommend the desktop app, and the full node we recommend people who are more seriously want to store data for other people. And then, so maybe to recap like this, like the light node considerations is lightweight, use only resources if you request them, on demand, so it doesn't have to be running 24/7, and you can start without a penny. So that means that you don't need to make any transactions to start using it, but later you can unlock it with more functionality. And the full node has different hardware requirements. So like currently we recommend that you can start running it on Raspberry Pi with like 4G RAM, 70 gigs of disk space. It has to be an SSD. So most likely if you want to use a Raspberry Pi, you have to connect your external SSD to that because it's quite demanding on the disk as a storage system should be. It's always on, so it's supposed to be run 24/7, and you have to do one transaction in order to participate in the being a full node. Basically, you have to deploy a checkbook contract so that you can participate in something that we call the bandwidth incentives. So let me just talk a bit about that. So basically, there are two kind of incentives. There is bandwidth incentives. That is like incentives, like money that you can earn for sharing data on the network. And then there's storage incentives. That is like how you can earn by storing data for other people. And so like everyone, maybe I don't have to explain here the importance of incentives here, but like maybe what's relevant here is that like these two things are separate, and currently only the bandwidth incentives are running on the mainnet. So currently you cannot really earn money by storing data for other people. This is something that we are working on currently, and this is on testnet, so we are planning to rolling it out like soon once the testing is done. And yeah, so maybe just to show you like the data economy in the network is that what we see is that what is interesting in Swarm is that consumers who are downloading data from the network are actually paying for downloading data. There is a way to use it without paying, but that means that your speed is limited, so that you don't, basically the nodes are prioritizing paying nodes who are paying for downloading content. And so the interesting thing here is that this enables a new kind of economy. So currently the internet has this problem that by storing data can be quite cheap, but the problem is that if you try to store large amount of data and it gets, your project gets successful and people start downloading data from you, then suddenly your costs are not on the storage side, but actually on the bandwidth side. So if you're using Amazon or something like that, then you will have to pay a lot for the bandwidth. And that can be, for small project, that can be like prohibitively expensive. So like storing, like, I know I had this example that storing like 40 gigabytes for a year is like few dollars maximum. But like if there are like 10,000 people downloading that from you, you can start paying like money in the $10,000 range, and then small projects may not be able to afford that. And by changing this kind of dynamics and making the downloaders pay can enable new kind of applications where even like small projects can afford to host big data sets. And also this enables hosting public data sets or common good data sets that we consider, like for example Wikipedia data or OpenStreetMaps data, or like it would be good to see like blockchain data. It doesn't really make sense to blockchain data be stored on all the nodes. It would make sense to have like one common good space where everyone could finance and maintain as a common good. And there are many other use cases that this can enable. And what I see here is that this can create this kind of new kind of applications where business opportunities can rise, when data creators can create, they create something that is stored on Swarm, and then that can be shared with consumers, and then here you can figure out, like, you upload data, you get back the reference, and then giving access to that data can be turned into business opportunities. So that is also something that we considered solved problem. And now I'm going to the more hands-on part of the workshop. So I will go to the terminal and do some stuff that people does usually in the terminal. And so the first thing I would like to talk about is that so the Swarm currently has an implementation called B, and you can download B from the website, and you can install it on your computer, and then you can configure it and start interacting with that. And so there is a dev mode for this. Like, I wanted to show this to you because that's quite easy to use, and it's quite handy when you are not sure if you want to be invested in this and you don't want to spend too much time on that. So basically, once you have the B binary installed on your machine, which is called B, then this dev mode can be just invoked with this B dev. It starts up and then it's ready to serve requests. So you can access the B API on the port 1633. And it also has some other functionality in ports 1635. Like, it's currently that, like, data related functionality can be accessed on the 33 port, and then administrative functions can be accessed on the 35. And maybe I can show you, like, the documentation for this. So, like, we have quite complete documentation. So how the API works, and then, like, maybe I will do this at the end, like, once I went through all the things. So I just wanted to show you that basically, like, trying it in dev mode can be quite easy, and it does not take you a lot of time if you just want to try to upload data, download data, check out, fill the API, then this is the recommended way to do. And then there is a desktop app. So for that, I will need to, I forgot to do this, but I will do some quick housekeeping. So application support. So I already have it installed on my machine, so I need to basically, sorry about this. So I just moved the folder, so it forgets everything. So you can go to the website, and then on the website you can, yeah, it's later. This is going to be handy. So on the website you can download it, and I already downloaded it so that it's on my machine and I don't have to rely on the network. However, like, installing this, like, this is a completely networked software, so in order to demonstrate this, I will need also network connection to be working. But the point is that so there is a desktop app. It's an Electron app, so it's available on all major platforms: Mac, Linux, Windows, and it has different versions that you can download. This is the GitHub page, but you can also download it from the website. And once you have this file on your machine, okay, wait, let me just find this, like, here, download Swarm desktop. I don't have it. Okay, so then let's do, like, how would you do it? So I download the x64 DMG version because I have the, okay, maybe I don't do that. Okay, sorry. I will just open the downloaded version. Yeah, I guess this is going to work. So you, yeah, okay, I already installed it. So I just need to start it. Like you install it as a Mac app, you put this in the application folder, and then you start it. And then, yeah, it starts with downloading B. So currently it's, it just, yeah, it's again, I didn't think of this because on a normal network, this doesn't take too long. And this is only needed because we support MVAM Max, so it has a different version, and it has a different B version, so it downloads the MVAM Mac B version if you have an MVAM Mac or like Apple Silicon version, and then it, for me it's an old Intel Mac, so it downloads that one. And yeah, after that, so as you can see, like this is a desktop app. You have to go through the installer. Let me check like where it is. So So it already created the things, but downloading B. So you don't have to wait for this. Normally it's like this. If this doesn't work out, then I can show you an already downloaded version and installed. The only problem with that is that there is a step, like when you download the app, first it starts in a mode where like it's this ultralight mode, so it's a limited version. You can only access data, but you cannot upload. And in order to unlock this upload functionality, you have to do the thing what we call the crypto onboarding, and that is basically you have to fund your node. So the Swarm mainnet uses the Gnosis blockchain. And that means that you will need to have some XDAI so that it can make the transactions for you. And also for uploading data to the network, you will need the BZZ token. So I will cancel this because like it's not working very well and that's not good, but I will show you the network anyhow, or the version that I had on my machine installed already. So I will just need to put this thing back to the library application support and Swarm space desktop. And if you have that, then when you start the app like that, no, I forgot. Yeah, okay. Let me, that's the demo effect. And then the network. Yeah, maybe. So I did some testing and it did not really work well. So this is how I try to do my network connection. And yeah, I managed to overwrite this for some reason. Okay. That's not good, but we will. Oh yeah, that's true. Okay, thanks for, like in the when you're sharing a screen, it's not necessarily the, you see these things. I put it inside. Ah, okay, so that's good. So we will need to do some. Okay, I will just put back the here, remove the application support Swarm desktop. So it means someone is listening to the one I'm talking, and that's good news. All right. Okay. Let me check. Yeah. So now we have all the files downloaded and it's already set up and for running, and we just need to start it. So in this case, it just starts up as this one. small icon, and then it opens the UI in the browser. Oh, and something is happening, but this is not what I expected. But anyhow, the point is that, like, if you have a working internet connection, like, then this is working. So and you can do this. So yes, I can use your computer. You have HDMI. DEF CON workshop Wi-Fi. All right. Oops, not that one. So wait, something is working actually. So, sorry, what is the password? Okay. Ah, okay. Thanks. Thanks, everyone. All right. Let me see if it works better or not. Okay, so it's somewhat working. Like, it's, I can show you the most functionality of this thing. So yeah, there is one warning which might just go away once the network is in a condition where it should work. So yeah, like, you can see that I have connected to 114 other nodes. It went, wait, yeah. Okay, it's jumping around. So this is not what usually happens. But yeah, it's like you connect around 100 nodes and 100 peers, and then you can use that to upload and download data. You can go here, upload, download. So the only difference is that when you install it in the first time, you don't have the wallet set up and you don't have this checkbook, which is also not working at this moment. But the point is that at that point you have to do this crypto warning, and for that we actually have a way to, like, different ways to do. Like, you can use either a gift code, which we have here. So if you are curious and want to try out and you don't want to buy BZZ, then look for Gasper here, and then he has a bunch of codes already printed, and then, like, with a good internet connection, so that to have a good experience on that. You can also set up it with XDAI, and we also provided some guides how you can do it with a bank card, but, like, we are crypto, so don't do that. Use the codes. And then, so with this app, then you can hear, like, you can upload and download content. I'm a bit, like, now scared to try it, because it might give you the impression that it's not working, but it is. So, like, I will upload my presentation in this format. I need to add the postage stamp. Okay, I have one. So there is this concept of postage stamps. So when you have the money for uploading, basically this postage stamp is something that you need to attach to your content. And basically it's two things, like, you buy a certain capacity for a certain amount of time. So this is like we call it postage stamp, and then you attach it, I mean, Swarm attaches it to all your data that you uploaded, and this is how the store nodes know how long they should be preserved. And then this is also used later for the redistribution of the value of the postage stamp. So the node operators, when they have the data stored in the storage incentives game, but I will talk a bit about later, they participate in that, and then they can get the value of these postage stamps. So here I chose the postage stamp, and then I will upload it, and then we will see. All right, so something worked, I mean, this is a cheating a bit because I managed to upload the data to my locally running Swarm node, so it doesn't mean necessarily that it's already propagated to the network, but yeah, it's like it would be good to share with someone and download that, but like this is how it works, like it generates this hash, and then you can just copy this hash and then share it with someone else and they can access the data with this hash from the network. And yeah, it has some functionality where you can manage your wallet and then your balance and your checkbook. So the checkbook is the thing that is used for the bandwidth incentives. So if you are running a full node, then this checkbook is you don't necessarily have to put money in it. But if you want to download big amount of data, then you can basically make it faster by putting money in the checkbook. And then how it works is that when your node is requesting data from another node, then they create a balance between them. And if your node is only downloading, then your balance will be negative. So then eventually you have to settle that balance, and you can do this with the checkbook. And if you have a full node, you don't necessarily have to do this because the full nodes are participating in sharing the data. And then basically over time your balance will even out. So you can also do that if you want to use your full node for uploading data as well, but it's not necessarily to do that. And then we have these postage stamps, and then here you can see the statistics of postage stamp and manage postage stamps. Like this is the idea for this is that you can like basically create different kind of content, what you want to share and for how long, and then for those like different kind of categories you can create different kind of postage stamps and upload the data according to this category. And there are also feature called feeds. So this is the thing that I talked about, these mutable chunks or mutable data with signed chunks. It enables you to create like a version that can be updated over time, and then with that you can here in this UI you can even use that as a, for example, if you upload your website, then the basic model where you upload it will be like you will get like the content hash of the data that you uploaded, but that will change over time as you change your website. So if you want to avoid paying the cost for like updating your website every time in ENS and then point it to a different ENS record and pay the transaction cost for that, you can use this feeds functionality, and then basically update, you can update your feed, and then your feed will also have fixed, like not changing hash that you can put in ENS, and with that you can update your website through the feeds, and that for that you don't need to change the cost on the blockchain. And we have some settings here. So this is the desktop app, basically just a UI, and it looks like it's stabilized a bit. So now we have everything working seemingly, and then we have like a normal number of peers. And yeah, this population is not very correct. So we have some analytical tools, and it shows that there are about 2,000 nodes in the network currently. So it's like not 80, not 3,800. And most of the nodes are actually like run by organizations that support Swarm. So there are individual nodes as well, and you can also start your node. And I will talk about that in a minute. So I will just stop this down because like this is the desktop app, and if you want to try out, look for that guy. Okay, so then there is another mode, which like the full node. So in order to do that, you need to read a bit about like the documentation, and we just realized that it seems like most people recently doesn't really like reading or like reading documentation, or it seems like the way how to do it better, it would be video maybe. But so we have documentation about this, but we often get questions from people like how to do that. But actually the documentation has this Like it describes the necessary steps, and then I'm going to go through this and explain this. Maybe it's complicated how it's written, but this is what you need to do. Basically, you need to create a config file, add 6 or 7 things to it, and then you are good to go. So let's start. I will start from an existing config file because I already created this, and I will go through that line by line so that I can explain like how it works. So this is an existing working full node setup. Maybe I can make it bigger. Oops, I made it smaller. So like first of all, like you need to say, tell B that you want to run it in full node. So you have to do this full node through. You have to specify a data dir. So like this is where your files live. And then this is, you have to make sure that on that disk where it points to, you have enough space for that. And it's also, you have to make sure that it's an SSD so that it's fast enough. There is a password, don't use one. But I mean, that works for demo purposes, and that protects your wallet. But like what we do, what we say here, and maybe what's important to mention is that when you start B, the first time it creates its own wallet, and the reason for that is that we don't want people to accidentally, you know, import their wallet with their funds in it, and then you know, like, it's much better just to start your node without with an empty wallet and then fund it and then let it run, because currently, there are ways to secure your wallet. So Swarm also uses a thing that may be familiar from running Get, this Clef. So there is a version of Clef which works with Swarm, which is called bclef. But we found actually that was one of the source of the problems of installing your Swarm node. So that made it quite complicated. And because of that, we no longer recommend by default to run it with Clef. Also, we recommend people that don't put a lot of money in their full node. So in the storage incentives, I will talk about, like, if you want to participate in earning BZZ, you will have to stake some money in it. But the current stake is like 10 BZZ, which is worth like $5. So I think it's like $5 is not really worth the hassle of setting up bclef, and just you can secure your thing with a reasonably strong password. Then there are two other config options that it's also documented, but I will just ask. So the swap endpoint is maybe it has this historical context. So initially we had this, the swap is called bandwidth incentives internally in Swarm lingo. And for that, you need an RPC endpoint. And I just added one. It's a public endpoint, but obviously you can use, like on the Gnosis chain, it's like you can use Getblock or whatever provider you want to use, or you run your own node, of course. But so this is an RPC endpoint to access the blockchain. And you also need an initial deposit config variable. So by default, it's not zero, because historically we recommended people to put some money in their check. This is for the checkbook, so in order to have some balance, but we found out that in order to start, you don't really need this. And if you don't want to use your full node for uploading or downloading data, then you can leave it to the initial deposit to zero. In order to do that though, like there is an initial transaction if you want to run a full node, it deploys a checkbook contract, and for that you will need some XDAI in order to make the transaction. But that's the only initial cost that you will need. And there is this thing which is documented also that you can fine-tune your Bnode to increase the default number of open files, which is something that Unix system have, like basically the open files can be open files, but also the network connections in Unix are represented as files, and then we use quite a few network connections, so it's better to increase the default values. And then one more option is this resolver options, which is only necessary if you want to use ENS. So there is ENS integration of Swarm, that if you have an ETH domain registered, then basically you can set it in the ENS record, you can set it to your Swarm address, and then it will work with Swarm, but it only works with Swarm if you set up a resolver for that. And since this is happening on Ethereum mainnet, this requires a different RPC endpoint than the swap endpoint. So this is a kind of a trade-off, and this is also optional. And this last option is only needed if you want to enable the debug API, so we want to have access from the HTTP API to the internal administrative functionality of your node. Most likely you want it, so I have, for the sake of completeness, I added it to the default configuration. And I will just try to run this, so let's see. I will skip the step of like doing the running it one by one, like so starting it and following the documentation step by step, and then if that fails, then adding the new one, the new config line. I will just use the prepared config that I just explained. Okay. Why there is no B here? I usually build from source, so oops. Okay, address already in use. Okay, so there is something running here already. Yeah, it's not the wrong tab. It was the dev mode. So full node B. So this is how you start it. You specify the config file, and then you start it, and then it runs. I will make it a bit smaller so that maybe you can see more at the same time. Smaller, yeah. So what you can see here is that like you have a node running, and then it connects to all these other nodes, and then it sometimes logs things like this, like, you know, you have to be familiar with these things. I can show you how it looks like from the beginning. So you start it, it prints this B, and then some things, it prints out some public keys and addresses, version, the chain backend, and overlay address. So there is, it uses a different address than your Ethereum address that it uses, so that basically it's something that is, it's a bit harder to just, you know, run a lot of random nodes, and then this overlay address provides some kind of protection against running a lot of nodes and trying to take over some part of the network. So yeah, and then at this point we have a full node running, and maybe if the network is working, maybe we can even try to. I closed it. All right, I don't no longer have the hash that I uploaded previously. I just wanted to try, maybe it downloads. So the thing is that now it's, if you start a full node from scratch, it, at the beginning, it will start synchronizing data. So the current full node capacity is around 20 gigabytes, but it also has some caching and some other overhead. So it uses more data than that. But it tries to like synchronize 20 gigabytes of data, and that is one B-node's capacity. This is something that we consider increasing in the future, but for now it's like, well, seems a reasonable default. And then basically when you start an empty node, then it will try to fetch as much as it fills up this internal storage space, and so that it can serve other nodes from that. So it may happen that if you run a full node, then it might not be able to, or it may slow down your computer at the beginning, or you know, it might not be able to access all the data immediately. Interestingly, if you run a light node that is not doing any kind of synchronization, it just asks the data from other peers, and then it works as soon as you install it. So it does not have this synchronization period. Like if you use IPFS and install that, you know that it also have to wait. You have to wait a few minutes until it becomes usable. This is not the case with the Swarm light node, but this is also the case with the Swarm full node. And so like this is how you can set it up. So maybe, yeah, we have like 12 minutes left. So maybe I will just talk a bit more about like the storage incentives part, where it is currently. So yeah, there is currently a testnet and the mainnet for the Swarm network. And the testnet uses the Gurley blockchain. And then in order to participate in testing, you will need some Gurley BZZ. We can provide that if you want to try out in the Discord. We have a Discord channel, so if you join there and if you ask, well, we want to participate in testing, then we can give you Gurley BZZ for trying it out. These codes are like actually like equivalent to a private key, so like if you want to try it on mainnet, you can also do, and then you can use these codes as a wallet private key, and then from that you can figure out the rest. You can import it to MetaMask and then transfer the money to that. And so what's maybe interesting is like the current status of the project and what are the next plans. So currently the storage incentives are on the testnet. So that means that we are testing out this functionality. It's quite interesting actually, and I suggest you to read about it, that basically there is a lottery game kind of thing, that so the nodes that have like the share the same partition of the network, they collaborate on the blockchain in a game that like they have to commit the approve of the data that they are storing, and they have to create a consensus on that, and then based on that they select a winner that takes the pot. But over time, it's statistically everyone can win, and that's how the redistribution of the funds are solved. And yeah, this happens through smart contracts, so we will post a lot about this, because this is our current focus area that we want to get done. And once that's working, that will enable this data economy that I just showed you previously, where like people can actually buy capacity on the network, and the node operators are compensated for their efforts. And so that's one thing that is the current effort that we are doing. And after that, we will work on making the like be more stable for like handling bigger data sets, and then enabling it for use cases which uses like it requires on bigger data sets, like for example like video and stuff like that. And once that's in place, then that can open the Swarm as an application platform for application, and then storing data on that, and that can generate like the activities on the network. And we are also going to upload some initial like public good data sets that we talked about, like so that to bootstrap the network and make it useful from the get-go, but also to compensate early adopters who participate in the mainnet. And then eventually we expect that like others will follow, and therefore like we can bootstrap this data economy, and then this can be a self-sustaining system. So this is the what I wanted to tell, and we have some time left for questions. So, yeah.
You said when the full node runs, it synchronizes existing data. How much storage does it keep for existing data? How much does it keep for new data?
So it has a limited capacity. So it's 20 gigabytes currently, what it uses, and like, it uses existing data in the sense that like it will populate it with data that is already uploaded to the peers, so that it will connect their peers which has similar address space and then fetch the data from that, so that they basically share the data in a partition of the network. And for that the capacity currently is 20 gigabytes. You can also pin data on your node, and that's an extra space that is used. But also pinning is a bit different in this context than IPFS. So because like if you pin data on your node, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's available on the network, because your node will be only contacted by other nodes if the data hash matches your node, and then if you upload your data, it's not guaranteed. So then it only means that from your node it will be available. That can be useful for some use case if you want to make a gateway for Web2, kind of like, so as a gateway like for like compatibility or for applications or websites that does not have like built-in integration with Swarm. So like basically providing a transitioning phase. But yeah, so that's an extra capacity, and that's not counted in the in this what we call this 20 gigabytes is called the reserve space, and this is what you need to prove actually when you participate in the storage incentives that you are storing that data. Yes.
Yeah. So there's a lot of other decentralized storage networks.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out what does Swarm differentiate itself by its proximity to Ethereum? If so, synergies does it have with Ethereum that other networks don't have? And if not, what differentiates it?
So, yeah, I didn't really want to go into this part because, like, this was meant to be a workshop and not necessarily a marketing talk. But yeah, so this is what I wanted to talk a bit about in the beginning. So, yes, yeah, so for example, like the thing that, for example, the built-in incentivization is something that differentiates Swarm from others. So, like, with IPFS, there is no incentivization. You can have incentivization with Filecoin, but Filecoin is actually not the same thing as IPFS. So it requires to run a different daemon, and then it's different tooling and the different trade-offs. So what we feel is that like this is an integrated solution that seems to be easier to set up and may serve some use cases better. And then we can discuss like what are those use cases. So I mean, what we feel is that with IPFS, you store files and folders, and that's useful for many things. But we feel that, for example, Swarm, you can store like data structures that can point to things, and then application. Basically, you can create like databases and applications that stored on Swarm and uses Swarm as a backend. So it's like not only for storage, but also for like messaging and as a decentralized cloud. Not only just the storage part.
Here, two questions quickly. Number one, as I understand, you have to pay to download and pay to upload, right?
Yes.
Okay. Second question. You said something about Clef, using Clef in Swarm, for example, when you're using multiple Hive clients as a single cluster. But the documentation says it recommends it, using Clef, but you right now just said a few minutes ago that it that probably that you're having a little bit of problems with the Clef swarm. So how does that work?
So what I recommend here is that if you want to try out running your own node, start without Clef. If you have multiple nodes and you want to manage the keys for them and you want to basically have an operation running multiple nodes, then consider running it with Clef. But by default, I think it's easier to start without Clef. And what was the first question? Sorry. The upload and down. Pay to upload, pay to download, yes. We have 3 minutes left. Any other questions? Yeah?
So it's regarding the download and upload payment. So what? Let's say we have this app, YouTube or Netflix, running fully on Swarm, and there's content that's very viral, and everybody's watching it. And of course, you as a provider don't want to pay for the bandwidth. So in terms of a user experience, that means that every user of this app will have to have a some sort of a wallet that will have to pay for that content to consume it.
So yeah, that's a good question. So what I imagine this is that basically this depends on the application layer and how the application layer manages this. So like in this regard, like Swarm is the, if we talk about like it's a decentralized cloud, then it's again like somehow applications can abstract this away. So also on YouTube, you don't pay for like Google Cloud, but like you pay for the YouTube, and then how it handles this problem in the background, it's a different story. So we don't have all the answers to that, but like one way to do that is, or one way how we imagine this is that this post-it stamp mechanism, currently it's tied to your node, but it doesn't have to be that way. So it can be actually portable, and then basically you can make your application hand out post-it stamps, and then with that it can enable uploading even in the browser without having to connect to a full node or like having to have capacity for things. So that we have ideas about that, but this is something that still needs to come when applications are built.
All right, and I have a question here. You show us that Swarm take an R shift and divide it in small blocks while sharing the network. What happens if, for example, my node is corrupted after this project? And what happens if an user want to made modifications to the file?
So all the data on Swarm is stored by this content hash. So basically, you can detect if the data has been tampered with or like changed or corrupted, and like all the data has is replicated on the network. So like if only one node is changing the data, then actually it can be caught, and actually it will be caught once it's participating in the storage lottery and make a claim for storing data that they have. They actually need to make a they have to create a cryptographic proof, and when doing that, it will reveal that like if they tampered with the data or changed or corrupted, then they cannot really. So at that point, they might lose their stake and stuff. So in this regard, like the system has integrity protection built in, and how to put it, like, yeah, so the content hashing makes a lot of things very easy in this regard, like the content address hashed. We also have a grants program. If someone is interested in developing apps on Swarm, then we are looking for ideas also, and the thing is that we don't want to build everything, like actually we want to build as little as possible, and then create this ecosystem where people participate and create their own stuff, and by that contribute to the network and the common goods. You have a question?
At the beginning, you told us that full node is multi-platform.
Yeah. So it's written in Go, and Go provides like easy way to compile it to any platforms.
Windows,
Mac, Windows, Linux, you have ARM version, everything. So I managed to even run it on my phone, so on Android. So yeah. All right, if there are no more questions, then thank you.